Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following podcast was recorded on, I think, I don't know. I'm trying to remember, and I can't remember when we recorded this podcast, folks. I'm so sorry.
24. I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. It's worst day ever here on Post Show Recaps, the 24 Season 1 Recap Podcast. I'm Josh Wigler, and I'm joined here by, I can't remember my co-host.
Wipes the dirt off of one side
what's
of their
your name?
Face.
What's your name? I can't
Hello?
Remember your name. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I can't remember your name.
Who? It's me, Emily Fox.
Emily Fox. I'm sorry. I just temporarily, inexplicably forgot who you were because
you crumpled to the ground.
My gosh.
What?
My goodness.
Was that?
Friends, countrymen,
listen.
Post Show Recaps listeners,
listen.
24 fans specifically, it has happened. It has arrived. We have reached the Terry Bauer gets amnesia storyline. And I'm so happy that I don't have to hide that from you anymore, Emily.
It's unexpected.
We're coming like basically right off of having just watched it.
Yeah, I took a 5-minute break, much like Kim and Terry take throughout this entire hour and the last hour as well.
Yes.
They keep taking 5-minute breaks and then being like, you know what? I'm ready to tell my story again. No, you know what? We need another break.
You know what? I'm not ready to do it because you're screwing your boss, Nina, a.k.a. my husband.
Listen,
did you know that they are the same person?
So, like, I want to cut Terry a break because obviously she's been through a lot.
There's a lot going on with Terry
Bauer.
There's a lot going on with 24 right now. This is episode 16. It's the 3 to 4 p.m. episode. We can take our time on this one. Clock is off here for episode 16. I don't expect we'll be here for 2 hours, though I suspect that it's possible that you have 2 hours worth of content to say about this one.
I think I really do.
Yeah. You're really feeling the groove right now.
I've been working a lot lately. And, you know, even today, I knocked out a bunch of stuff for a client. And then Josh was like, yeah, we got to watch
this. We
got to
do 24. You know?
Like, you know what? Okay. I can kick my feet up. I can pour myself a glass of wine. And Josh was like, I think that's a really good idea.
I think that's a very good idea. So you've done that.
So you knew that this was coming. And that's partially why you were like, potentially a worthwhile move.
So
normally I watch this on, I don't know, on like a Saturday afternoon with you, or you know, we knock it out really fast.
We're doing a Sunday. We did like, we saved it for like a Sunday night record.
Yeah.
Which like it was like a little bit of like a mood thing.
Right, but I work on Sundays. So I was kind of like, all right, yeah, let's do it. You know what? Okay, cool. I'll pour myself a glass of wine.
Yes.
I can watch this.
Yes.
And then I just sat here.
Transfixed.
Incredulously. And
yes.
It was like, I'm tired. I know these people are tired. They've been awake for
so
a very long time.
So long.
but the 3 to 4 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. Episode 16 of season one of 24.
I got to tell you, 16 is my favorite number.
It is. A very special episode of 24. This is the one where Terry Bauer gets amnesia.
I really...
Terry Bauer, in this episode of the Emmy-winning television series 24...
They didn't watch this episode, did they?
Amnesia.
When did they win
Emmy?
Emmy,
this is, I think, this plot line, like, sort of, like, classically, because, like, people, like, I've said it before, the sixth season of 24 is, like, full-on trash.
Okay.
To the point that Post-Show Recap's patron, Mike Edwards, has been crushing seasons of 24, and he just finished season 5, and he said, when you were done with season 5, let me know, and I will spoil you on season 6 so you don't have to watch it.
Okay.
It's that bad. So, like, that season is obviously very not good. But, like, forgiving, like, the sort of, like, popular opinion and, frankly, correct opinion that, like, the second half of 24 as a franchise is clearly weaker than the first half.
Okay.
This storyline that I've been waiting for you to get to, that Terry Bauer is going to get amnesia, and it's the start of a story that I've been so excited for you to see...
I'm scared that you're calling it the start of a story.
It's the start of a
story.
Rather
than just an anecdote.
No, we're in the Terry Bauer has amnesia story now. And I don't mind telling you that we will be in this for just a little while at least.
Well, so we were in the car.
People, Emily, the point being.
Sorry.
The point being that people believe this to be at least a top three worst storyline in 24.
All right, so we're
or
there.
Or most ridiculous storyline in 24, mm-hmm. I think is probably... And we're there. And I'm so happy that we're here. It's ridiculous.
I made a joke.
And I've been so excited for you to get to this moment.
Yeah, you kind of warned me that you were like, there's some interesting content coming your way.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, kind of like in Oz when there's like that crazy problematic plot line in like...
Which one? Specify.
The one where all of them go on an experimental drug.
Right. And some of them, like, accidentally get older.
Yeah,
like, it's
like
a medicine
ages
that
them.
Ages them. Yeah, this is on, like, that quote-unquote prestigious HBO drama Oz. Someone takes medicine that makes them accidentally old.
Yeah, where they, like, end up with gray hair overnight. And you're like, that's not even, like, physiologically possible.
This is a companion to that, I would say. Like, this is in that same family.
Here,
it's part of that, you know, it's a relative of that.
This is something I said to you, Josh. As it was happening, that a lot of the cases in Unsolved Mysteries are of people that went missing randomly. They wandered off. They were, you know, pretty normal. They didn't have many issues from what people could tell. They kind of disappeared into the ether. This is how this happens.
Like temporary amnesia? Like,
yeah. And there are a few that got solved where it's
sudden
like...
Sudden amnesia?
Where they're like, John actually was found by his family. He's from Saskatchewan.
Uh-huh.
He wandered over the border
sure,
20 years ago
to
and made
yeah.
a new life for himself and a new wife. Like, that was actually a storyline.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, his old wife was like, oh, crap, that's John.
Yeah. Yeah. I shouldn't spoil this for you. I really shouldn't. But
like, it
you've
happens
come...
after a traumatic event. Like, you literally, like, your brain just, like, goes into overdrive and you compartmentalize or whatever. You have, like, a psychotic break and you wander off. Like, I don't disbelieve that as a thing.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. Like, what? Kim's...
It's very
the
sudden.
The car just explodes
it's very
after
sudden.
Just, like, rolling
a
down
a car
the
rolls
hill?
Down a hill with Kim allegedly in it. It explodes. Terry watches it all. And after the day she has had, passes out. And when she awakes, she has no memory of any of
she
this.
She looks like a piece of laundry that just got discarded.
This
like,
is,
the way that she flopped to the ground.
This is what happens. She just, you know, it just fully collapses. And we are now in this much maligned storyline that, like, it is worth noting that, like, I firmly believe that season one of 24 is by far and away the best season of the show. And yet, it contains the Terry Bauer gets amnesia storyline.
Every rose has its thorn.
I suppose that just as every night has its dawn, is that how it goes? Or every dusk has its dawn? I don't know how the song
You're
goes. Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. And then the Grim Reaper spins his scythe around and says, every rose says it's Thorn. We are going to do the recap, Emily. I'm just so excited to be here with you.
Other things happened in this episode.
This was so funny when the episode ended, because there were a few moments throughout this one where, like, sometimes I felt like you were a little disconnected from it, and then other times I felt like you were, like magnetized by the incredulousness of what was going on in the episode. And by the end of it, when the reveal is that Terry has amnesia and Kim is alive and now they are separated,
yeah.
You were like, this episode, episode 16, I don't even know. I have a lot of issues with this. And then you walked out of the room and you go, A minus. So it is worth noting that at least at the time, the official score, Emily, you gave this one an A minus. You have some questions.
I do.
It's obviously still going to be in the A category. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. Let's address the questions along the way.
Okay.
Without further ado. So yes. It begins at 3 o'clock. Bob Ellis is at this point already dead. Remember, Bob Ellis is the sweaty man in New Orleans, who's the guy that both Jack and David know.
Who got killed by a clay cutting kit.
Some dude, that's what happened. It was like the wire cutter. Yeah. And strangled him. And if you'll remember,
he was killed by a potter.
The last time we saw first name Harry, when we saw when we saw Jack last, he was on the phone with Bob as Bob was getting killed. This is like 2:59 p.m. Something like that, I think, is where we leave Jack Bauer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we begin this episode, Bob Ellis, this guy upon whom they pinned their hopes to, like, find the Drazens, this guy is dead on the ground in the bathroom.
In the men's room in the French Quarter.
That's important. Yes.
Yes, from Milo later
yes.
on.
That he is dead.
Just that one men's room in the French Quarter.
It's the only one.
We were able to pinpoint it, Jack.
Oh, my God. It's at Coop's. Get the fried chicken while you're there. that he is dead and the phone is still on. And Jack, for a solid minute, has been saying into the phone, "Hello, Bob.
Pick up.
Bob, pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
He keeps yelling, "Bob, okay, if there's somebody else who's in there, pick up the phone." He suspects immediately that Bob Ellis is dead. He's correct. He has spent, because this is a show that takes place in real time. He tells you that every episode, you know?
Events occur in real time.
So you know
this all takes place
in a flow of time. So Jack Bauer in real time has spent at this point about 90 seconds bellowing into the phone.
You don't have time for that.
Bob, pick up when he could have been, I don't know, calling the cops, calling the bar, calling anybody when
calling the French Quarter. Every single one of them.
Even multitasking, even like putting the phone down and screaming out the door, Milo, get in here. I think something's happened to Bob. Call the cops. Anything. He's just screaming into the phone, "Bob, are you okay?" He's not. Bob's dead. Jack doesn't call for like 2 minutes.
He's showing his age.
I guess he's tired. You know, like everybody else. He's really exhausted.
If he'd gotten a good 8 hours of sleep.
Jack, by the end of this episode, is like, "I'm really sleepy. I've been stuck inside the office for 3 hours in a row." 3 episodes of Jack Bauer just chilling at CTU, by the way.
And he likes to remind Terry like of that, too. He's like, "If I'm at CTU if
in case he needed me." He's like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah.
Well, just in case there's new viewers this week who don't know what my office is called.
There was no Tony this episode. How did you feel
about that? No Tony. You got the week off. So anyway, Jack should have called somebody. Not that he would have saved Bob Ellis, but like just call someone at this point. Maybe you would have caught the killer. So anyway, he does call a contact in New Orleans. Like, "Go look for my friend Bob. I think something terrible has happened to him." Milo shows up. He gives Jack these Xerox copies of all of these different assassins and their headshots. There's one guy who Emily just like cracked up looking at. There's this one dude. Like, there's the guy from like the hospital who we had already seen who plays a big role in this episode. There's, of course, Alexis Drazen is now the name of the hot assassin who Emily questions whether or not he is hot. And then there's this other guy who's just like there, just being like, "Hey, I'm Gabe." And like, he is just like, you know, like this very, you know, sort of like mundane presence. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were laughing really hard. You're like, who is that guy?
Yeah,
I'm like, well, we'll see him again briefly. But yeah. Anyway, so Jack, now they have like these pictures of people. And this
I
is
like that they
exciting.
Printed it out on photo paper. That's what I was making a joke with Josh about, where I was like, do you think Milo took the time to like exacto them out of a photo paper?
Yeah,
like,
they're very, you know, serious about their artwork at CTU. At the safe house, we're like seeing that there are all these people who are working in like the trees, they're gardening, they're working on like the power lines. They're all obviously like agents who are like stationed to watch the house.
What do you think the tell was?
Of what they were?
Yeah.
Probably the fact that they kept radioing around being like, and also probably saying really loud, like, clear, spot three, you know, like clear, A2.
The one guy was just like not mowing in a straight line.
Yeah.
He was just a hot mess.
Yeah, probably also like one of them just like had like his like badge on his belt. He forgot to put it away. Here's the thing,
like,
Emily.
It's not that obvious, you would think, at a safe house, unless you were me watching. Somebody,
Emily, it's a,
I would be able to figure out
it's
which the safe house
it's
was.
A 24 trope, and it's just worth talking about.
Okay.
That, like, you know how they talk about like red shirts on Star Trek? You know, like a red shirt is like somebody who is wearing the red shirt that went down on the away mission with like Picard and whoever, like main characters, or like Kirk and Spock, and then a random guy in a red shirt, and that guy would always die. You knew that
guy would die. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they call them red shirts.
Like a Tasha Yar.
No, Tasha Yar was not a red shirt.
She does die.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
I remember being so pissed about it.
Unbelievable,
you're a main character.
Tasha Yar of Star Trek The Next Generation.
It prepared me for everything Sean Penn's ever
done. Was a main character, and so she was not a red shirt. Red shirt is like they show up in the episode and then they're gone. Like Paulson, the CTU agent in this episode, who you kept being like, oh, I hope
he doesn't die. Sean Penn, sorry.
I hope he doesn't die. And I kept like internally being like, Emily, obviously he's going to die. This is what I'm trying to tell you. If like you're just like sort of like a generic CTU employee, like it's very likely you're not going to be around for very long. This is sort of a 24 trope. So here are all these safe house guys. They're just doing their best.
Where do you think this was shot in L.A.? The safe house. Like, where's a smart place to put a safe house?
I don't know where the safe house... I mean, based on, like, where Terry and Kim take the car, feels like they're in, like, the canyon.
Yeah,
like,
that's
they're,
what
like,
I was gonna
very
say.
Very remote.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying... It's the canyon. What is it? Like, Topanga?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Rustic Canyon, our favorite restaurant.
Topanga Canyon. Yeah, it's like they're around there is what it seems like, which is like a ridiculous, I guess it's like very out of the way, but if you need to get into a car chase, you can't just like drive in public where you would have witnesses. You have to go down all of these like different canyon roads and be like at the mercy of hitchhiking.
I was saying this has a real Glass House vibe.
It
to
did.
It.
Anyway, so that's where I think that is. But where the house specifically was like shot, I don't know. But that's what it looks like when they get into the
Fair
car
enough.
Chase. Jack has called for Terry. Just be like, yeah, so my friend just died, but I seem to be like totally fine about that. How are you doing? Like, he's called to be like, our last conversation felt a little awkward.
And she's like, definitely not withholding information from you.
She's like,
definitely.
She's like, I want to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you now. He's like, well, why not? And she's like, I'm just not feeling it. He's like, all right, well, when we do talk later, you better remember everything you have to tell me. you better not forget anything that you need to say.
This interview with Nina is going to go off the rails in a lot of different ways. You can't remember your own freaking
name. You better
name.
Remember what it was you wanted to tell me, he says to her. And he tells her, okay, in case you need me, I'm at CTU. Just remember, if anything bad happens, I'm at CTU.
Unbelievable now. I can see all the signs.
David goes back. David Palmer returns to his hotel. It's like 3:06. Agent Aaron Pierce, my guy, is giving a rundown of like the threat assessment. He's showing off like the headshots of all the assassins. And then Elizabeth Nash, the woman who has been seeing Alexis Drazen, sees the headshot of Alexis Drazen and does the full like Diane Lane in Unfaithful when she finds out that Richard Gere killed her lover. Oh my God. Did you kill him?
Did you do it?
Did you do it? Did you hurt him? And so like she's freaking out. And David Palmer, of all people, like clocks that.
He's
and
like, whoa.
Elizabeth, what's wrong? And we cut away. But like presumably they immediately have this conversation. Nina and Kim are having like the interrogation because Terry needed the time out. But Terry is now ready to come back. Not soon enough. because Kim keeps having to talk about how much she likes Rick on the record, and it's weird.
It's really weird. It's awkward, and it doesn't make sense.
And so Terry is like, I'm ready to resume. And so Kim gets the reprieve, and Terry sits down, and Terry starts the conversation being like, Nina, we're going to be fine. I'm really sorry about everything. Like, it was unprofessional. You don't have to tiptoe. We were separated, Jack and I. I know you two were dating. It's fine. And Nina's like, well, that's very gracious of you, and I appreciate that, because, like, we do have some important information that we need to get to, because this has been a very stressful day, and lives are at stake. And Terry's like, totally got it. And then Nina's like, okay, so now we're back on the record. Is everything okay? No, it's not,
yeah.
Nina. It's, you slept with my husband. She goes
wild.
Off.
It's she snaps. Wild.
She snaps.
And again, I'd like to have some empathy for her because
She's been through a lot.
But
she's been through so much.
I don't know. The thing I hate about this
A ton has happened to
the
Terry.
The thing I kind of hate about this is that it feels like she's being undercut as a character. It doesn't feel like we're shaping her as a real person.
It's a little cartoony.
Yeah.
The approach.
Yeah.
I think.
Where like she's a jealous pregnant
yes,
wife.
Yes.
And it's like, no, she just went through like horrible trauma. If yeah. anything, she should be like, I'm really exhausted. Nina, thanks for doing the work here. This is a weird circumstance that we're finding ourselves in.
Right.
I don't love that you slept with my husband, but also like that was a weird time. And like, let's just work together for the sake of like getting these bad guys. And then we can maybe like sort it out at like a Panera later.
At a Panera of
yeah,
all
get
places.
A salad or something.
So that's not a terrible idea, to
right?
be completely honest with you. But that's not how it's played. It is instead played as though Terry is just like utterly furious with Nina, having like just like extended the olive branch.
Yeah.
She's then
maybe the Olive Garden.
Yeah,
is
perhaps
is
where they wanted
rather
to go.
Rather than Panera.
And then like she's just like off on her again immediately. So like because like Nina's like, I think Kim may be lying to me about Rick. What do you think? And Terry's like, she's not lying. And he goes, are you sure about that? She's like, she's my daughter. I think I know her better than you do, Nina. It's like, oh, no. She's still mad.
I mean,
rightfully so, but like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I understand being protective of your daughter, but also, I don't know. Yeah,
it's a lot.
It just
it's
feels malicious it's and intense and a little silly.
David Palmer calls Jack Bauer because that's a thing that happens now. Let's start
I've
there.
Got a direct
it's
line.
Great. David Palmer and Jack Bauer, great combination. Two great tastes that taste great together. David Palmer calls Jack and says, Jack, hey, so one of my aides has been sleeping with Alexis Drazen. He says, like, she knows him, is what he says first. And Jack says, are they still in contact? And he goes, oh, they're in contact. And Jack goes, what kind of contact? And David says, intimate. Intimate contact. Is what Elizabeth Nash and Alexis Drazen are having. Intimate contact. At this point, while we were watching the episode, I remarked aloud. I joked aloud. I said, when we get on the podcast, I'm going to say, that's the kind of contact we have, Emily. Intimate contact. At which point, Emily, you said that you would get on the podcast and make a joke about how you and I sleep in a trundle bed.
It's true. So do you want me to
I mean,
follow through?
Yeah, or? Do you want to make a joke about it, or did I?
I don't know how intimate we can be when one of us pulls out the bed from underneath our other bed.
on the trundle bed
yeah.
that we have. Good
Marriage
joke.
Marriage is a sham.
Very good joke. Jack says to David that, okay, well, that's great news. We've got a lead because poor Ellis is dead, probably. David
well,
Palmer's like, oh,
news.
Well, that sucks. Like, we don't need to lose anyone else. This is tough. We lost intimate contact with Bob Ellis, unfortunately. We lost contact with him
in
20 minutes ago. Intimate contact. The one men's room in the French Quarter. So then at one point, this is the end of the first act of the episode. We're obviously taking our time this time.
We really are,
and
I love
Jack,
it.
Like, shouts for Milo. And I swear to God, we didn't rewind, so I didn't verify what he said. What I heard him shout at Milo is he goes, Milo! Give me chocolate command.
What?
That is absolutely not what he said, but that's what it sounded like, and that's what I wrote down in my notes. Milo, give me chocolate command.
Sure? Are you sure it wasn't just auto-corrected?
No. I
okay,
remember specifically like laughing because then you said out loud, wow, things are really kicking off into high gear, which I wrote down and thought was very funny.
And
next
I asked
to me
you,
call, thinking that Jack was calling for chocolate command.
And then I thought you were laughing at me, so I asked you. I doubled down.
Yeah.
And,
I was laughing about that, but I was also laughing about the other thing. At 3:15, we
this
check in.
This is a great recap. We're really recapping our feelings.
At 3:15, we check in with Rick, who's at his house with the lava lamps. Emily loves the lava lamps at Rick's house.
I said he was at a Spencer's Gift.
At a Spencer's Gift, you did say that. Kim like keeps calling Rick. This is all whatever. Rick's like, don't call me for a little while because his girlfriend shows up. So that's awkward. Rick's girlfriend has been introduced as well, folks. So that's great news. The Terry and Kim storylines, we're in the sweet spot now.
That's what you want to call it.
So Nina is like asking Terry more, and then like Terry is still just going off. This is when Terry says to Nina, like, just do your job, Nina. That's what you're here to do, right? And Nina goes, listen, I have a lot of complicated questions to ask you. And Terry says, well, things tend to get complicated when you screw your boss. And Nina's like, wow, okay, I don't have to sit here and take that. And Terry's like, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have to take that. But also, it's probably for the best that we stop talking to each other. So Nina has been kicked off the team, and Terry's like, yeah, you should probably leave. And he was like, I'm going.
It was a real rumble of the short hairs.
Agent Paulson will take over the interrogation.
Agent Sarah Paulson.
George Mason has returned to CTU because Alberta Green has been escorted out of the building. We're done with Alberta Green.
I feel bad about that.
I don't think
a raw deal.
I don't think we ever see her again on 24.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we never see her again. She's one of those characters that if they ever wanted to do a reboot, like that's a, you know, like a really, you know, that's a character who like
that's
still exists on 24. Like she's somebody who could come back.
I feel bad because I feel like she was typecast as like a really tough woman that like is like difficult to work with.
Yes.
But like in reality, she was probably working towards getting any kind of like significant role in the organization. And this was like her time to shine. And then it got like totally ruined by the fact that like Jack was like, actually.
Also, like they probably like, yeah, she like gives like Nina and Tony a lot of shit, but they are covering for Jack.
Yeah.
Who's just like running around.
She was doing
running
her
roughshod.
Job.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true. Anyway, George Mason.
So that's how you get screwed.
George Mason is back. This is Xander Berkeley has returned as George Mason. Of course, you remember George Mason at this point, right? It's been a couple hours since we've seen him. But he was in mostly the early morning hours of 24 season one.
Yes.
He is back on the show and he is sort of like overseeing the rest of it.
Correct.
Jack reads him in on everything. He tells him about Operation Nightfall. He tells him about the Drazens. He tells them about the latest on Elizabeth and Alexis. And Jack floats out this idea. He's like, now I've got a crazy idea. Hear me out. But what if they meet up? What if we have
that's
Elizabeth and Alexis?
That's not a crazy idea. That's like a classic move.
And no one likes this, though. Like George is like, no, that's too far. That's morally repugnant, even though this is like George Mason, the guy that Jack kneecapped with a tranquilizer dart earlier in the day because he had allegedly just like stole a shit ton of money from an operation. But now we've got George Mason is the one who's like moralizing Jack. David Palmer and Keith Palmer have a beautiful moment. They're at the hotel, and David tells Keith, Keith, I'm really sorry. Things have been tough. Things have been very tough lately. It's been a hard day, and I have not been there for you. And also, just like generally, sometimes I haven't really been there for you, and I would like to do better. And I would like you to know that I will always be here for you. And it's this great dad speech, and it's the kind of thing that you always want to hear. And Keith seems so taken with it. He's like, Dad, thank you. Thank you. That's really great. That's very supportive stuff. And David's like, seriously, like anything you need. And Keith's like, great. So what about Dr. Ferragamo? David's like, well, when I said, remember just a minute ago when I said like you could come to me about anything? And Keith says, yes. And David says, you can't come to me about that yet. And Keith's like, what the hell? And so they get into a fight. So it's like this beautiful moment that swiftly turns into a big conflict once again between the two Palmers. He's like, why have you not called
Palmer
the cops? Squared. Why haven't you called the police yet? And David's like, it's I'm going to do the right thing. I promise. It's just not the right time. And so Keith's like, all right, whatever. I'm going to take matters in my own hands later on in this very episode. So the assassin is at the safe house. He's already started doing assassin things. He's like parked the car out. He's killed like a couple of the people in the power line. He's like, I figured that out. I figured out who these guys are. So he's killed all those people.
Very Barry of him.
He has like the dude who's like sitting in, at the wheel of the car with the helmet on, who's just like been shot in the side of the head, and he just like leans his head against the window. It's like the classic ruse of like, if anyone walks by, it looks like he's just sleeping. Sleeping on the job again, Barry, aren't you? That's the killer like doing a ventriloquist for the guy. He's like, wait, was that your actual voice? Yeah, totally. At 3:28, Jack Bauer throws a fit because he can't log into his computer.
It's Which is classic move.
It's an incredible like OK Boomer moment where he's like, I can't get in. I can't get onto my computer.
Don't act like you haven't done that.
And Milo is like, did you try your password? And Jack's like, I didn't. No, he did try his password. He's been downgraded his access. This is just like another one of those like Jack's in trouble moments, because he talks about how he's going to face charges because of all of this. This is provisional stuff.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we have a time limit on this. You need to solve everything or else you're seeing justice.
Correct.
Being brought to justice.
Brought to justice. So he's talking to Milo about all of this, and Milo's like, are you done venting? Because I really got to get back to work.
Are you done venting? Because I have some snacks that need to be
eaten.
And
Jack says, one last thing. Has anyone like had access to any like particularly sensitive information on any of the servers? And Milo's like, why do you ask? And Jack's like, and Milo goes, oh, do you think that there's still people who are working against us here on the inside? And Jack's like, I kind of do.
Yeah, so that's on the side of the anaconda snakes.
That's what he asks Milo. Keith calls Carl and threatens him, and Carl says, stop threatening me. We'll talk about Dr. Ferragamo if you meet me at Griffith Park.
I'd like to go to an iconic setting and talk to you.
And so so begins this really strange sequence where Keith convinces Nicole, who has eavesdropped on this phone call, convinces Nicole to help him get past Secret Service so that he can sneak out and go to Griffith Park and deal with Carl on his own. And she does help him. And we like watch the full like minute and a half process of like Keith sneaking out of the hotel suite past Secret Service.
It kind of feels like a lost minute and a half.
Like, it is like one of those things where like, well, it's a real time show and we need to just like put some stuff on TV.
Totally.
So that's what's going on there. Jack is showing all of like the assassin photos to George Mason. And Elizabeth shows up, and like Jack and George like are talking her through everything and being like, look, we have this idea. Tell us if it sounds crazy. Would you consider meeting up with Alexis Drazen in an hour so that we are able to bust him, so we can put a tracking device
and
on
she's
him.
Super nervous. She's like, that doesn't feel great. And we're like, yeah, of course it doesn't feel great. No one likes to put a wire on somebody else.
So Elizabeth agrees that she will put the tracking device on him.
Do you think she's going to put it in his flowing locks?
You did have a comment about where she may put the tracking device on Alexis Drazen. I won't say where. Let's just say it involved intimate contact. Elizabeth says she will do this. She's going to be on board with this plan. And Jack's like, well, that's great. We have a lead. Thank God.
So nerve-wracking, though.
So
at least she came forward. I was kind of worried that the show was going to take like a stupid turn where they were like, she's embarrassed and she's going to try to rectify it.
They wasted no time. Like, she sees the picture. She does the right thing immediately.
Which I feel great about.
Yes. So,
which makes space for Terry to completely lose her mind.
Right. So Terry and Kim are like now talking to this dude, Paulson, who Emily really enjoyed. You really liked this guy. And so meanwhile, another guy is, like noticing that things are happening outside. He can tell that like the security team is thinner than it had been.
AKA there's an abandoned, like,
AKA none of them are there anymore. They're all gone.
The lawnmower is just standing there. He looks and it looks like somebody's lifeless in a truck rather than taking a nap.
And just as he notices this, and he's on the radio and he's calling for, it sounds like he's calling for a guy named Gaines is what it sounds like. But if that's what he's saying, it's purely coincidental. And it's one of those like the show should not give people the same name type of deal, especially when it was the name of a prominent villain who's only like 3 hours deceased. Or I misheard it.
But
either way.
What? Sometimes there's a coincidence.
As he's radioing, it's not great for fiction. As he's radioing this guy, the assassin emerges from the closet. There's like a broom closet right next to him. So he's already in the house and he has like this little harpoon handgun.
Yeah, it's
and
like so a Moby Dick moment.
So he Moby Dicks this guy in the neck with this little harpoon gun.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious. It's like, why did you use the harpoon gun? He's like, I thought it would be quieter.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I guess maybe, but you look weird as hell shooting this dude with this little harpoon gun. It's like, I don't know. This is what they hire me for. I'm very creative.
Listen, it's 2001, okay?
Yeah, he's very defensive about the harpoon gun. Anyway, and then we cut to commercial. And remembering that all of this takes place in real time, and the space in between commercials, presumably this is where the bathroom breaks take place, but this is where the show is continuing on. It's about a 4.5-minute stretch of time. This guy, who only has one CTU agent left to kill, has been in the house now for however long he was in the broom closet for, and now the at least 4.5 minutes following when he just shot this guy. And it takes that long until he makes his final move on Paulson. So that's the real-time journey of 24 for you, though, folks. Terry's, like, falling asleep. The eerie music is happening.
Yeah, that's the problem. That music kicked back in.
It's very jarring.
Yeah, Josh was like, what? And I was like, the music, man.
It's what? It's foreshadowing some discomfort to come, you know?
Well, you know what? We didn't hear it again when freaking Terry lost her mind.
Anyway, she's so tired. They want to take a little break. Paulson goes to drink some coffee, and then he starts to figure out that something is wrong. And so he, like, leads Terry and Kim, like, deeper into the safe house towards safety.
Okay. Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah, of course.
If you're in a safe house.
Yeah.
And you have like seconds to get people to a safer place within the safe house, would you not have secret passages for them to go into in a room?
I would.
You know what I mean? Rather than being like, here, barricade yourself into this one bedroom and like hope that no one comes in.
Is there
here's
like a
the
panic
lock
room,
and it's
something.
The same lock you would have in a normal house where you just like push the little button in the center of the doorknob.
CTU seems underfunded is the point here, Emily. Don't think so.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like he could be like, hey, go into the second closet.
Yeah, but the
kick the door open.
I
there's
don't know,
a false wall.
It's the early 2000s, you know.
People have been making false walls for hundreds of years. I refuse to believe.
It's just a fantastic line. anyway, so he puts them in just a regular room.
Yeah.
And then
have more.
He tries to shoot the guy with the spear gun. And then the guy who cracked you up earlier in the episode, the picture of this dude who just looked like, I'm Steve. He comes from behind. And it turns out Steve's dangerous. He stabs Paulson from behind. Terry and Kim book it to a car.
I mean, I don't know how they knew to just do that.
Because
they heard the scuffle. They're not going to wait around.
Their spider sense is tingling because of everything they've been through.
I was proud of them for being able to get out of here.
They're proactive.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That made me feel good that at least they didn't like stay holed up in that room.
Correct.
But also, it feels like they're moving like cold molasses. Is that the word?
I don't know.
Is that the saying?
Does molasses, you don't want to deal with that when
cold
it's
cold molasses.
When it's cold. It's already pretty, I think molasses on its own is pretty slow.
You're going slow as cold molasses.
Well, that's really slow.
That's what my dad says.
That's
what it felt like for them getting out of that garage and driving down the street. Because the fact that, okay, so the two assassins are able to hear them leave. Even though Paulson's still alive.
Yeah, he shoots the rando guy.
Yeah, and then the other guy,
gets
the one
into
with
a
the harpoon, is able to come around the corner, still shoot at their car driving away.
Yeah, and that like is a tell, right?
Yeah.
Like before like they kidnapped Kim and Terry, this guy's like shooting to kill them.
Yeah.
So the heat has been turned up.
Yeah, but I'm like, Terry, I know you're driving like a Crown Vic or something like that, but like really gun it. Like put your foot to the bottom of that.
Okay,
car.
Well, she does. We'll get there in a
Let
second.
Let me just tell you, Josh, if there's ever a shootout and you and I need to get away quickly, I will be the driver and I will get us out of that situation.
Sounds great, Emily. I hope we never get into that situation. But if we do, I'll for sure remember to tell you. Jack
this makes me mad.
Jack is going to learn the news from Milo at this point that, yes, Bob Ellis is dead in the men's room in the French Quarter. The one and only men's room in the French
like,
Quarter.
No one
of
thought
New Orleans.
To just edit it, being like, yes. "Oh, at a dive bar in the French
it's so
Quarter."
Great. It's
like,
so great.
It's like no.
So I believe this is the last time we deal with New Orleans in the entire run of 24, and that sucks.
Can you say it the right way?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yes. So Nina shows up, and Jack's like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "Well, I don't want to tell you how Terry kicked me out because it was very uncomfortable. Anyway, I'm sure everything's fine." Cut to the car chase. Where it is decidedly not fine. And she was in this neighborhood, and then for whatever reason, she left the neighborhood, and now she's on a mountain road. So I believe she is going through the canyon. And as she is going through the canyon, she manages to do this, like, killer, like, swerve move.
But it's not.
She does, like, a really sweet U-turn, no?
What?
She pops a Yui, and she goes into this, like, secret little road, and... And the assassin drives past. He totally misses her
he totally Yui. Misses the obvious dust path.
He
that
misses
she
like yes.
with the car.
Yeah, and he also like didn't hear the Looney Tunes sound effects of the car like doing the swerve. And so he keeps going, and Terry like hops out of the car and like looks at Kim and goes, "You stay in the car. I'm gonna go look and make sure." And Kim's
me and
like,
my suede jacket on a nice hot day.
Kim's like, "Are you sure you're just gonna leave me here?" And Terry's like, "Totally fine. Everything's gonna be a-oh god." As the car rolls down the hill, because Terry parked it like a weirdo, parked it like a psycho, as we would say on Mole Patrol.
It was on the edge.
Very precariously on the edge, and it's in park, and the car
rolls down. One thing we know about
down.
Los Angeles in a canyon.
Yes.
A lot of loose dirt.
Carl, the car rolls down the hill with Kim inside of it, with Terry helpless but to watch as we watch from Terry's vantage point.
Flames!
The car explode into a huge fireball.
Flames!
And Emily Fox starts cackling. You say at this moment, "I'm sorry, what? Excuse me?" Is what you were saying as the fireball is erupting.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then when Terry Bauer passes out, you cackled like Bradley Whitford does in Billy Madison. like a jackal. It was hilarious. It was great to watch the moment. And I should have filmed it and I didn't. The moment, Emily Fox, where you watched that happen.
You would have seen me with my black eye.
Oh, laughing. Yeah. It's looking great.
Thanks.
Almost there. We're almost there. We're so close.
That sounds so convincing.
We're so close.
Almost there.
You had intimate contact with the car last week. You're still just getting past that.
I don't want you to say that.
Okay. Well, I said it. I won't say it again.
That's like my strange addiction.
At 3:52, Keith meets Carl at Griffith Park and like just keeps like being like,
"I can't believe we haven't even gotten to this part yet."
This is the end of the episode, basically. Okay, so Keith like meets Carl at Griffith Park
and he's like,
"So you killed Dr. Ferragamo, right? Right? Right?" And Carl keeps being like, "Why do you keep asking me that? And why are you leaning in with your shirt?"
I didn't pick up on that until the very end.
Yes. It turns out that Keith has met up with Carl so as to get Carl to admit to wrongdoing in the Dr. Ferragamo situation. And Keith records the entire conversation. So good on you,
and
Keith
Palmer.
And
plays it back within 10 seconds of Carl saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious. Like, Carl could definitely hear that and be like,
Wait, what was that? Did you record the whole conversation?
Did you just record that whole thing?
No, he doesn't get that. Like, so Keith has a tape.
Keith takes his talk boy out and he's like, "Listen."
Yeah. Keith takes out the talk boy. But, what did the commercial say? "Hi, kids, we're home early."
Yeah.
And then there's one part in the talk boy commercial where he records, "Kiss me, sugar, I'm a prince." And then puts it by a frog and it goes, "Kiss me, sugar, I'm a prince." The Talkboy never really did anything quite that cool, I have to be honest.
I really, really wanted one.
Oh, the Talkboy was like a great novelty, but it was actually not great.
I had a great friend who at the time had one.
Talkboy was overrated.
And I remember being like, "You should come over and hang out with me because you have a Talkboy."
Talkboy was great marketing, and that's about it.
Do you remember the Yak Bag?
Of course I remember the Yak Bag. So Terry Bauer wakes up, and Emily fully calls that she has amnesia. Emily goes, "What, does she have amnesia now?" I'm like, "Well..."
And then you were silent for the next 30 seconds, and I was like, unbelievable.
Because the music is very eerie, and then a car pulls over, and it's Paula Peretti. Paul Perrette?
I think it's Peretti.
From NCIS.
What if it's Peretti?
And she has blonde hair instead of the black hair. And she says, hey, what's going on? What happened? Are you okay? What's your name? And Terry Bauer says, I don't know.
And she has just like this little like brown stain from falling on the
road. So the
meanwhile, the freaking guy.
Yeah. He drives past them. Around. Yeah. And he misses them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he totally passes them. So now he's without a lead.
And the freaking Kim survived the crash.
Yes, Kim has survived the crash. She is fine.
Kimberly!
Kim is, I have in my notes to describe the entire ending is that Kim is obviously totally fine.
Yeah.
You were like laughing pretty hard that like the reveal is that like Kim didn't even explode in the car. So well, what is going on
here's
anymore?
What I said. I go, she was perfectly launched. From the car.
Yes, she was.
She has like what? A dirty arm from hitting the side. She's covered in flammable material. Like not only like what she's wearing, but also like covered in like dry grass.
Yes.
But that didn't catch fire.
No.
She's so far from the actual crash when she looks back at it and starts to climb back up the hill.
Correct.
Completely inconceivable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
She's alive. She's alive. She's at the crash site.
Thankfully,
Terry Bauer has amnesia.
Yeah.
Terry does not remember things. She's in the car with a stranger. And that is where we leave this episode of 24. A monumental moment in certainly season one of 24 history. And I would argue 24 history. The A-minus is understandable on your scale, Emily, where like an A-minus is the worst it can be, it seems like, so far. I understand it. You'll just have to wait and see how the rest of this story plays itself out, you know?
I guess so.
Like you're just we're just going to have to find out. Yeah, that's the episode. You got anything else you had to say about it?
I think I've said enough.
Okay, well, that is that's worst day ever this week. Longer episode. We were off the clock. Next week, we're back on the clock. Heads up, we may be like a day or two later next week is my suspicion. So if it comes around, it's a Monday, and that's when you're used to getting worst day ever, and it doesn't show up in your feed, don't panic. You may just need like a Tuesday. Could be as late as a Wednesday, but no later than a Wednesday. We will be back with episode 17. Keep the conversation going. Of course, if you've got feedback for Worst Day Ever about 24, you can email me, Josh at postshowrecaps.com. Follow Emily on Twitter at Amelit, but don't tweet her anything 24 spoilery. Try and stay safe, Emily.
I do.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do here.
I'm in the safe house.
You're in the safe
house.
With
my normal lock.
That's where you are.
In a normal room.
I'm at Round Howard. Of course, you can talk to both of us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, should you choose to sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. What, you really thought you were going to get out of an extended 24 podcast without me mentioning the Post Show Recaps Patreon program? It exists. You should look into it, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Emily Fox.
Yes.
We'll be back next week talking episode 17.
Ooh,
24 here on Worst
Day
Ever.
It this far.
My gosh, we're getting so close. Are you excited?
Who am I? Where am I? How did I get here?
A mystery to answer next week on the podcast. We'll be back then. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.